Amen. Boy, it's a blessing to be here. At my age, it's a blessing to be anywhere. I'm so thankful. I got to go in coach's class this morning and enjoyed being there with those. And Denise, that little girl that you had up here, I was in the 12th grade in high school before I could read like that. Boy, wasn't that precious? I appreciate this church more than you'll ever know. And of course, there's a lot of new faces here now that I do not know and haven't met before. But we go back a long time with Grace Baptist Church. Tip Hickman and I have been dear friends for 26 years. And I know y'all love him and pray for him, and he just was not able. He almost fell down because he could not breathe yesterday, and he can't even hardly get out of the chair. So they're going to do some extensive tests on him Monday, and I know he'll appreciate your prayers for him. But doing the work with Mediterranean Missions has been a joy of mine and still is. We're making a trip in June, even though I'm not going to get to go because I've got meetings booked to go out and try to be a representative. But in November, the Lord willing, if he hasn't come to take us home, we'll be going back to Israel and to Egypt and doing some extensive work over there in the mission field. We got a new director as far as deputation here in the States and in charge of the ministry, and he's doing a good job. And you know, Brother Lazarus had gone home to be with the Lord, but I used to sit and listen in amazement at him tell me stories about his experiences in Egypt, and I could tell you a lot of stories about my experiences in Egypt, and Brother Frank can tell you some stories about his experience in that trip. We never did get to go back together, did we, Brother? Maybe one day. But I like that song, Brother Keith and everything. You know, down here we have so many troubles, and if you look this way, straight out, you'll see things. And the only way that you can learn, and it took me 53 years, you can overlook things is by looking up. If you learn to look up instead of looking down, you can overlook and never wear a frown. Somebody said, Brother Marty, how do you stay happy? I stay away from people. Amen. Hey, I've got a brand new song. We got some cards that came in, and I appreciate Marty sending me that card. But I want to sing this new song. I know the children have already left the auditorium, Brother Frank, but I just wrote this, and we're going to try to record it, I think. I don't know. But maybe you'll recognize it. Jesus knows me, this I love. He who died to save me from above. One day soon I'll be going home, never again to live alone. Yes, Jesus knows me. Yes, Jesus knows me. Yes, Jesus knows me. For the Bible tells me so. I'm so glad he knows me. Amen. I have an unusual message this morning. Of course, Brother Frank said all my messages are unusual. So I said, Brother Martin, where'd you get that message from? I was preaching somewhere, and I said, I thought I got it out of the Bible, but I want to direct your attention for a few minutes to 1 Thessalonians, the first epistle of the Apostle Paul. And I always stand amazed. This is probably my most favorite studied epistle of the 13. Because he only spent 22 days at Thessalonica. And in those 22 days, he rooted and grounded them in the doctrines of Christ. I marvel at that. There are people today that I cross paths with that I've known over the years, and they don't seem to be any further along spiritually than they were when I first met them. So you imagine what Paul did in that very short time. I want to start reading for the text in verse 1, and this is what it says. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard someone say years ago, where you're at depends on what you're in. And what you're in will always show up on where you're at. A lot of wisdom in that, amen? Listen to what he says. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. He was a Southerner. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I want to preach on a message that I hope will get you to thinking. How'd he know that they were elected? How did Paul know these people were elected? He was only around them 22 days. Now, outside of Jesus Christ, I don't know that there's ever been a human being who had the gift of discernment as much as was needed in his life than the Apostle Paul. He could get around a person and he could discern spiritual things about them. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So a person has to be spiritual in order to compare spiritual things. So this that I'm preaching about this morning is a very spiritual thing. And I think it would benefit us. Now don't worry about me going off the deep end. I went off the deep end so many years ago, I've been trying to get back. So don't worry about that. Now notice this. By way of introduction, I'm just going to give you two thoughts and get into the message. Number one, Paul knew that they were elected by their present conditions. Their present conditions. In verse 3, he said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. He witnessed in those 22 days, their work of faith. You don't get saved by works. You know that. You get saved by the grace of God. But after a person is saved by the grace of God, there will be effectual works in their lives. God did not save you to warm a pew. God saved you for a ministry. And that ministry of sorts is designated to each individual person according to his perfect will. I thought about Brother Cole, and I never will forget the first time that I met him. And then later I found out that God had placed him in a particular ministry. And I marvel at the ministry that Brother Cole's got in the areas he gets into in those schools and reaching folk for Christ. He has a work of faith and labor of love. Boy, I love what I'm doing. Now, at my age, would you believe I'm booked? I'll leave here and I'll go to South Georgia and leave South Georgia and go to Tennessee and leave Tennessee and go to Kentucky, leave Kentucky and go to Virginia, leave Virginia, come back to Tennessee, and from Tennessee back to North Georgia, and then finally back to Tallapoosa. Somebody asked me, said, Brother Marty, you travel everywhere. I said, shoot, I even leave the United States. They said, you do? I said, yeah, I go to Alabama. I have to get my visa renewed to get back in the States, but it works. And from now till November. And it's not a drudgery of you. Somebody, my doctor, I went to my doctor. He's a Christian doctor. He's the only doctor I've ever had, Brother Frank, that sends me a note, and he said, I'm praying for you, Brother Few. And he said, Brother Few, I was in there Thursday, I believe it was. He said, I wanna ask you a question. How do you feel? I said, I feel good. Am I supposed to feel any different way? He just laughed. He said, I marvel at you. I was in there to get my blood sugar. You see, back yonder when I first had a little problem with blood sugar, my doctor told me, said, you're going to have to cut out sweets. I said, I am. Yeah. Okay. So we got to the house and I told May, I said, May, get the calendar down. She said, all right. I said, pick out your favorite day of the month. She said, the first day of the month. I said, all right. We smooched for a half hour and that was it till next first day of the month. And I went back to the doctor. My sugar was down, boy. I'm telling you, amen. See, those present conditions was one thing that showed Paul that they were elected. They not only had a work of faith and a labor of love, but they had patience of hope. You know, I haven't always known this, but now it matters not to me. Whatever the state I'm in, therewith to be content. I just take it day at a time, enjoying life, love it. I'm staying about 6 foot ahead of them old maids. Boy, you got to outrun them. They chase every state I go in. They say, Brother Marty, have you got married yet? And I said, no, and I run. How does he know they're elected? By their conditions. Paul said, in essence, I know you are real. Can I say something? If you're a child of God, you know a child of God that's real. You know who's real and who's not real. Hey, I want you to think on this. Would God tell you to love the brethren if you didn't know who the brethren were? Hello? You can't do something God tells you to do if you don't know how to do it. And if I'm to love the brethren and the sistren, we got too many Baptists loving the sister more than they are loving the brethren. Say amen right there. You've got to know who they are. You've got to be able to discern between the evil and the good. And so we have this from Paul laid out so perfect. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. Why? The love of God has been shed abroad in the heart of every saved person. If there's one thing that you are full of, you are full of love. You have the love of God. And you have to be full, because if you've got the love of God as big as He is, it'll fill you up. And it'll give you a love for the brethren. Amen. It'll give you a love for lost souls. It'll just give you a love for the Word of God. It'll give you a love for the labor of love, for doing the privilege. Have you ever stopped to think from a percentage how many people will never be called of God to do anything? And yet God chose you and picked you out and selected you for a particular task and said, here it is. And it became a labor of love for you. Paul knew they were elected not only by their present conditions, but Paul knew they were elected by their past conversion. Now, past conversion here only goes 22 days at the most, as far as Paul was concerned, when he wrote the letter. But look at verse 5 through 10. There's numbers of proofs, and we'll look at more of this in just a minute. But verse 9 said, there is the entering. The entering. Paul knew that they were elected because of the past conversion, which required an entering. Something had to come into you. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols. You know what an idol is? An idol is what takes up your time. That's what an idol is. And some people can't wait to get off work to go operate in their idol. A lot of people lay out of work to operate in their idol. Everybody in here has an idol of some sort. When God saves us, he saves us, though, from idols. My idol is the Lord Jesus Christ. Has been since January the 19th, 1969, at 8:45 Eastern Standard Time. He became my idol. I don't understand how people... Now, they're not here, but I'm going to say this. It's all over the United States. They're claiming that about 50% of the people that was attending church prior to this Chinese thing that come on the scene will not come back to church. And I know your pastor. I've known your pastor since he's 16 years old. What are you, 68, 69? He looks it, don't he? Maybe Baptist is causing him to look so old. But I've known your pastor since he was 16. I never will forget when I first met he and Cinda. You were dating then. Inslee, Alabama. And I've known your pastor there in Inslee. I had him down to Houma to preach to my youth. I knew him in Montevallo. I knew him in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I've known him all these years that he's been here at Grace. And I know there was that entering in, how he turned from idols. Brother Frank was a special athletic type of a person that could have excelled in athletics. He won't say it, but I can say it. But he turned from that. It took your time when the Lord... It's 16 years old. And boy, he was ready to go for the Lord to serve the living and the true God. 1 Thessalonians 2:1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Now imagine, here's God sending Paul to Thessalonica into an area where there is no such thing as a Bible believer at all. Religion. And he reaches one, and he's able, the entrance of God's word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And he enters in by that word of God into that person's life. And another, and another, and another, and another. My, what a blessing. And he said it wasn't in vain. So there's the entering in. Paul knew they were elected because of the entering. Paul knew they were elected because of the examples. Every one of us this morning is a living example of something. Hello? Now, from the fleshly side, we are an example in favoritism of our mother and dad. None of you ever seen my mother and father. But I'm a living example in certain areas of both of them. And so are you of yours. And then I thought about this in verse 7. So that ye were ensamples to all that believed. Now, for Paul to say this when he wrote the letter, I want you to catch this. He's talking to the first one he pointed to Christ, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. You were in samples to all that believed. Everybody in here that's ever believed the truth because you saw somebody that had something you didn't have. Acts 13, seeing is believing. Amen. If you don't see nothing, you're not interested in it. But when you see something, it can get your attention. And God got their attention by an example. In sample, example, there's nothing like it. Watch. In Macedonia and Achaia, those people spread out from Thessalonica, the city, and went into other areas, and folks saw an example. They saw a change. You know, there's one thing about a child of God, that you can go anywhere in the world and run into another believer, and they'll believe like you do. I know, I've traveled. I've been numerous places and plan on going to some other places. And every time I run into a believer, I don't have any problem. I run into a lot of religious folk, and they haven't got the foggiest idea of what I'm talking about. Amen. You heard that old cliche, dumb as a box of rocks. That's dumb. You need help if you're dumb as a box of rocks. What an example. But then let me get to this third point, and we got a foundation laid, and then I'll give you the message in about an hour and a half. The evangelism. Now, I can dogmatically say something that I'm fixing to say, and I don't apologize to none of you. I don't have to because I'm right. Everybody God saves is an evangelist. Everybody God saves is a witness. Amen. If it's no more than by passing out a gospel tract wherever or talking one-on-one to someone, God saved you to be an evangelist. How you know, Brother Marty? Listen to it. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, far from you. Now, Paul was speaking not only indirectly, but he was speaking directly. See, I'm speaking indirectly to a number of folk here this morning, but the Holy Ghost is speaking directly to you. And he says this, far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You know, I count it a privilege. I've witnessed on airlines. I've witnessed in bus stations, train stations, on boats. I was on a camel one time, not so busy trying to correct that camel. I didn't have a chance to witness. I was kicking the fire out of that rascal. He bit me. But I witnessed to him in a rough sort of way. You'll never know the paths you're able to cross with an open door to witness. I bought that little house there in Tallapoosa, and God, I didn't understand the reason at first, Brother Frank, when God said, all right, you're done at Childersburg, I'm moving you to Tallapoosa, Georgia. Hey, folk, listen to me. I couldn't even spell Tallapoosa. And I live on Talaferra Street. And they'll say, spell it. I say, look it up. And God placed me there Because one day, a 19-year-old boy that had sometime or another been on dope kept walking down the street, and he'd always throw his hand up to me. Well, down in my neighbor's yard where he would go, that's grandparents, Joe came down with COVID-19. I call it Chinese 19, Obama 19, Bill Gates 19, Fossey 19. If you don't like that, I'll say a few other names. It was a conjured up killer. And my neighbor Joe called it, and Pat come up, knocked on the door and said, "Brother Marty, pray for Joe." I said, "Well, I will. I've been praying for him. Did I get open door to talk to him, witness?" And she said, "He's at the hospital and he's got COVID." Thank God she was standing a few feet back from me. 2 weeks after they put him on the ventilator, he was dead. As many times as God had let that grandson, see, there's an effectual time to be an evangelist. There's an effectual time to be a witness. You understand me? And Jacob come walking down through there. And, "How you doing, Mr. Marty?" I said, "Hey, son, doing fine. Come here." And he come over and we started talking. I said, "I've got something I want you to read." And the tract that I pass out so many of says on the front of it, "And where will you be this time tomorrow?" Can you imagine a 19-year-old getting that and looking at it? He went down the street to Grandmama's house. Granddaddy was bad sick, hadn't died at the moment. I didn't see him for about 2 weeks. And he come up the street and hollered at me in turn, come walking over to me, big smile on his face. And he said, "You know that track you gave me?" He said, "That's just what I needed." He said, "He and I are together now." I said, "Amen. You telling me?" "Yes, sir, Ray." Isn't that something? You say, "Oh, Brother Marty, God didn't put you over on Town First Street." Sure he did. Open doors, witnessing. I had a knock on the door the other day, and I wasn't dressed properly for opening the door. When you live by yourself, you do as you please. You know what you mean? Yeah, y'all not with me. Come on now. And I peeped out the shades, and there was a lady looked like she may be 60 years old. She had stepped back to the fence railing about 10 foot away from my door, and she was wringing her hands and standing there, and I said, "Yes, ma'am. Can I talk to you?" I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I'm not dressed. Mama, I can get dressed." "Well, I just wanted you to pray for my husband." I said, "Okay, what's the problem?" She said, "He died in my arms." And she went down the steps. I'm thinking, I get sit down in the chair and I go to praying, and the Holy Ghost said, "You put your clothes on." She drove in over at those apartments and go find out that apartment. Well, I put my clothes on. I went out the door, but the Holy Ghost said, "Get some tracks." And I got 4 or 5 tracks and stuck in my shirt. And I went out the door, Frank. In the first apartment, I've just been witnessing to this man. His wife's been gone a few years, and God's given us an open door. And I said, "Do you know the lady that drives that white car down there?" He said, "Yes." I said, "She's sitting over there on the porch with that other lady." There's a man sitting there to him. It was his buddy. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Y'all with me? I got to give him a track. I got to give his friend a track. And then I went over and walked up and I said, "Sister, you knocked on my door?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Y'all mind?" And the lady said, "Yeah, get him a chair." And I got a chair and I got right in the middle of them two and sit down there. And got to give him a track, got to witness to him. And I said, "Ma'am, did your husband just die?" She said, "No, no, he's been dead about 2 years. I thought, well, but I got to have prayer with them sitting right there. Got to witness to them. I have set before you an open door. No man can close it. God set Paul an open door in Thessalonica, and he went in there, and because of those simple two thoughts, Paul knew they were elected of God. The evidence was there. The entering was there. The examples was there. The evangelism was there. Now, I want to give you three thoughts, and I'm done. It won't take 5 minutes. If you miss these, you've missed the message. Brother Martin, how can you tell somebody is elected to go to heaven? Because of these things that have been passed down to us. The Bible calls them three infallible truths. And if you're saved in here, you have those three infallible truths. Now, if you're not saved, you may try to act like you're saved. You may try to be religious. You might try to this, that. But those three things, it's like a light bulb. If you flip the switch on, the light lights up. They're there. You can't hide them. They're present. Hey, y'all with me? Acts chapter 1. I want you to mark this in your Bible. Don't miss it. I want to read verses 1 and 2. Luke said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespassing and sin." If you ever get born again, you will show yourself alive to somebody. You can't be hid. AJ, it's there. It'll pop out. Amen. Watch now. "After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen." Being seen. Present tense. Being seen. I love traveling around the country with every open door. I'll be in Maine this October, and the pastor booked me to be there Sunday through Sunday, and he said, "I want you to fly in on Friday. I want to take you up to Caribou, Maine." He carried me up to Moosehead Lake last October, and we saw one moose and took the picture of the moose there in the bushes. It was eating. I didn't want to get close. Anything that big had to be a moose, but I want to go see a caribou. And I had me a Maine lobster to eat. This year, I'll get to eat Maine lobsters again. I mean, just doors open like that. And you get to witness to somebody on your way, when you get there, on your way back, when you get there, you never know. Every day of your life that you get up, you have an infallible proof living inside of you. You're seen. It cannot be hid. It's impossible to hide somebody big as God. It's impossible to hide the Holy Spirit. "And speaking of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God." Only a child of God is able to speak of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Now think about that. You that's been living here in Childersburg most of your life, all your life, whatever, you know plenty of people go to church, but they never talk about things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Now there is a difference in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. But if you can hang around someone for 15 minutes talking, and they don't speak anything that pertains to the kingdom of God, it's a good possibility they've never been elected. I want to get down here. I can't see all y'all that are bouncing off my head and blinded. No, now I see you. When Donald Trump who most people hate, was elected president. He said, I'm going to make America great again, and I'm for the people. And you know what? He proved it. Every time he talked to the people. He could care less about the Democrats and Republicans. He found out he had more enemies as Republicans than he did Democrats. But President Trump was continually speaking about the things that pertain to the presidency. Did he not? Now, this one's in there now. He don't know what he's talking about. Can I tell y'all a joke? It might offend some of you, but you know me. At my age, I try not to offend, but sometimes it offends. Now, this fella asked me this. I'm just telling you what he said to me. He come up to me and he said, did you hear that the president died? I said, no. He said, maybe tomorrow. I thought, man, I wouldn't talk like that. You know how to tell? I don't care who you get around. They'll speak of things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Sunday morning was a week ago. My 24-year-old granddaughter got born again. She stayed under conviction for 2 months. I told you about Jayanna. Jayanna sat right here in this church, never been saved. Her bomber, her jet, shot down an ISIS bomber in that war when she was deployed on the USS George Bush aircraft carrier. She was so proud of that. And then the Holy Ghost got her under conviction. Nobody knows what caused that other than the Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he sought her out at this particular time in her life. Now listen to me. She was shacking up with another person in the Navy. And he had never, ever told her that he loved her. And she got under that deep conviction. And she couldn't get saved. She said, I get down and ask God to save me and show me what I'm doing. And I said, he'll show you. I said, he won't save you a whole lot more than you want to get saved. And she'd call me and she'd cry over the phone and say, Papa, I wake up at night and I see the flames of hell and I don't want to go to hell. I didn't have to say, well, you're going. I said, sweetie, Pop's praying for you. Her daddy called me and he said, I told her to call you, Pop. I knew you'd tell her straight. I've been telling her, Brandon's been telling her. Everybody she'd talked to, she couldn't get saved. She wasn't ready to give up and make a turn. But Monday morning, a week ago, Cole, that phone rang, and I picked it up. She said, Papa. I said, hold on a minute now. You're getting emotional. Who is this? I didn't recognize. I'm honest. It's Jan. I got to tell you about the judge. I said, well, when me and her both went to running and shouting. She is so changed. She had a career with Lockheed starting out over 6 figures, but she's finished up now, got out of the Navy, finished up 2 years and an associate's degree in veterinarian. And she loves that. She wants to be a veterinarian. So she's going to do her internship and go back in the other years that she's got to do and be a vet. But she told me, she said, Pop, now that I'm saved, I can't live that way anymore. I sent him an email and I told him, but I do love you, and I want to see you saved. I said, good, good. That'll give you the answer. Amen? And she told me, she said, I'm moving home after I see him. He's deployed on that USS George Bush, and he gets back in. He wants me to go to Texas with him, but I'm not going to Texas with him. But I do want him to know that I love him. and then I'll be praying for him. And I'm coming home to Atlanta, and I'm going to get me a job, and I'm going to finish what God has gave me to do. I said to my son, Jayanna is going to be a testimony to her cousins that's lost. Alex has never sat here in this church. My daughter Julie has sat here. My daughter Caroline has sat here in this church. Alex is an agnostic who graduated from West Georgia. He's been in school. He's 28 years old, and he's been in school ever since he was born, I guess. Right now, he's working on a PhD. He wants to be a professor at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., so he can be around politics. He does not believe there's a God. He does not believe there's a hell. He does not believe there's a heaven. He told his mama, said, ah, she said, well, what are you going to tell your granny who is already in heaven? He didn't answer. Jayanna's going to be a witness. Such a change has come over her life, not just for me to see. And if, when Brother Frank gets to see her, he'll know it. He knows her. But for her lost brother and cousins to see that a change has taken place in her life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. I'm going to leave you with this thought as I close. You'll never be a were until you become an is. Are you listening to me? You will never be a were, W-E-R-E, until you become an I-S. While every head's bowed, Sister Teresa's coming to the piano. I'm glad some of you I don't know, and you don't know me, but I do ask you this. If you're here this morning and you say, Brother Marty, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't have no assurance of salvation. Would you please pray for me? I will. I would not embarrass you. I don't go to people and try to drag them to the altar, give an invitation. But if you are, if God's spoken to you, if the Holy Spirit's spoken to you, did you know that I dreamed Thursday night before I came over here Friday? I had the most vivid dream that I was preaching in this church in that dream, Brother Frank. And revival broke out. Have you ever been in a revival? Have you ever been in a move of God? We had revival in Houma, Louisiana. It lasted 2.5 years. Denise, wouldn't you love to see something like that? Hey, God can still do it. You say, Brother Marty, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I don't have no doubts about that. But you might need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I hadn't been evangelizing like I need to. Maybe somebody's sitting here right now and you'll say, preacher, you don't know me, but I've never been saved. I'm lost. If I died right now, I'd go to hell and I know it. You don't have to. God can save you. The one that stretched on a cross from east to west and north to south said, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. A free drink from heaven, and you'll never thirst again, as Coach was teaching this morning. Would you stand to your feet?